How many kinds of sweet flowers grow in an English country garden? I'll tell you now of some that I know.
Good evening and welcome to Trevor's Monthly Gardening Diary. Trevor Mallion is here and he will be giving you lots of tips and advice about what he is doing in his garden for April and also what happened in March. We'll be also answering listeners' questions. So anyway, let's say good evening to Trevor. Good evening, Trevor.
Good evening, Sue. How are you?
I'm very well. And how are you?
Oh, tickety-boo, tickety-boo.
Well, we've had some lovely weather. Tuesday was absolutely glorious.
Yes, we have had some lovely weather. Unfortunately, it's the back end of March, and the majority of March has been quite wet, windy, and cold. So apart from that, so we've been able to put things on hold for a while and starting with gusto this week.
Tuesday was the most glorious day. Did you do gardening or did you go and do your golf?
Strange but true, the gardening was put to one side and I went to play golf because it was rude not to.
Absolutely.
Everyone else's.
Well, it was just a glorious day. Let's talk about what happened in March.
Well, as I've said just a minute ago, a lot of things have had to be put to the right because of the conditions. And I think, as I elaborated earlier in other programs, that weather does dictate soil conditions, temperature and whatever. So certain things have had to go to the right, like sowing of seeds, where I thought I'd be able to do some in mid-March. That is now going to be at the beginning of April. I did sow some summer cabbage in modules and they're all coming through, I hasten to add, which is very pleasing. I haven't been able to shade the greenhouse because of the weather. That is the way things are. And obviously, earlier in the month, the temperatures in the soil were still quite cold. And it has warmed up now. And the past few days and past week has really seen an improvement. Although I understand that we're probably in for another cold spell, but hey ho. So going on to what other things I've done, I planted out my onion sets, two varieties, which is all looking very good.
What varieties were they, Trevor?
Oh, sorry. They were what they called as Stuttgart Giant and Styron. Now there's various different onion sets that you can buy, but they're the ones of choice. It all depends on your soil. Whether it's where it says Stuttgart Giant, it might not be as big an onion as what you're expecting. Hey, how long as they come up and they're edible, that's the main thing. With planting onion sets, you can plant them about 4 or 5 inches apart, so it's not as close as what shallots were. Again, just give them a little bit of protection once they bed down because they can be prone to birds nipping them out of the soil. They don't eat them, they just move them. So therefore, the birds don't eat them. And so the roots are away from the soil. So that puts the growth to one side. So we have to replace them, just push them in firmly. What else have I been doing? I've carried on aerating the lawns and with the rain, and that is an easy job to do because it's soft underfoot. So you give yourself half an hour at a time, depending on how big your lawn is. Nothing else, you're giving yourself some exercise. I've pricked out some tomato seedlings, which were raised in the propagator into the conservatory, and now they're undercover in the greenhouse, which is very reassuring because you know that the season is moving on. And it's quite easy to do. And as I've said before, don't pick them up by their true leaves. Pick them up by their seedling leaves, if you can. And then just drop them into a pot of compost. A pot size up for the moment and keep them not cold. That is the main thing. It's the next stage up that you will probably pick them out and put them into a much larger pot.
Right.
What else did I do? I pricked up my modules of marigolds, African orange, which was very useful. They're such an easy flower to grow. Very popular. You can have African orange, which is the bigger one, as opposed to the French marigold, which is a little bit smaller. What else have we been doing? Well, sowed Brussels sprout seeds, and I decided to sow some kale seed to see. I've never done it before, but there you go. You try something different. And I hasten to add that certainly the kale is coming up in the little modulars, and that's all in the greenhouse. They don't need any warmth or anything. They just need the natural warmth. And with the Brussels sprouts, obviously I said that I've sowed the new lot. We have just finished the Brussels sprouts, eating them, that is. And by virtue of that, I've dug up the stalks, which are quite woody. I dust off the soil and then chop off the leaves and put them in the compost, cut up the stalks because they're too woody to go in the compost, and put them into my waste bin, my green bin. And then I started spring dinging, which is what I needed to do to that area. And then the bad weather came, so that was aborted. So that's why everything's behind a bit. But I hasten to add, the purple sprouting is coming on in leaps and bounds. In fact, I have to eat it quite readily. Otherwise, when it starts turning to flower, i.e. yellow petals, that means it is finished. It doesn't taste too much. You just want them when they're purple. There's going to be a lot of that. And I sometimes freeze purple sprouting.
Well, I can tell dear listeners that I do receive this purple sprouting broccoli. It is absolutely delicious.
Thank you very much for those few kind words. Parsnip sowing, that again was delayed, and that'll be going in April. In fact, one of the areas where I've been spring digging. I've repotted melons and chilies. If it sounds a bit repetitive, repotting stuff, this is because this time of the year, that is what happens. You've sowed your seed and they don't all come up at the same time, but when they are big enough to repot, then you do so. And so there's always something happening. Every 4 or 5 days, there'll be something else to repot. So I've done that with my melons and chilies. I've also sowed beetroot in the greenhouse in modules, and they're coming up, and I'll wait till they get about an inch or inch and a half high, and then they may well be time to harden off. Now, hardening off is a form of acclimatizing the plants to outside conditions so that they won't get chill, shocked or anything, but you put them out during the day and then you take them in at night. And when it gets a tad warmer, if you've got a cold area, what they call a cold frame, then you can put them under there, which takes the chill off them anyway, until they're big enough to say, okay, you're going out into the garden now.
It's like looking after a baby, Trevor.
Well, there you go. You said that, not me. As I say, you have to look after your little delicates.
Yes, yes. And what else did you do in March, or the list that you gave us last month? Did you manage to get through it all?
Yes, I think I did get through it all. I was able to bag my compost. I think I may have mentioned that, but I was able to use it as a soil improver down the side of the garden, which is very useful because basically you just throw it on, just wiggle it around with a fork and let the worms do the rest. But it's a soil improver and it's something from nothing. A little bit of your hard work bagging it up. In fact, I bag it up, but some people would take it straight from the compost bin and put it straight on the gardens. As I think I've mentioned again, is that you probably wouldn't use that kind of compost for your seeds or seedlings because you're not really knowing what is inside that compost.
Yeah, so seedling, you need to go to the garden centre and get proper seedling compost.
Seedling compost or general purpose compost, it would have all been heated as opposed to your own compost. Yeah, own compost does get heated, but not in the same way.
Yes.
Yes, I think that nearly concludes what happened in March, Sue. As okay. I say, I would have been a bit more had the weather been a bit kinder.
Okay. All right then. Did you move any plants?
Move any plants? I moved a hydrangea.
Yes.
From a pot outside, and I've only just recently, last 3 weeks, took the flowering head off, because as I was learned, that you leave that on as long as possible because it protects underneath the buds and everything that are coming through from frost. So I did that, and yes, there were some lovely buds coming through. It was in quite a big pot, but it didn't look right, and I thought, let's get it a chance to breathe. So I put it into the main side garden, and then it can spread its wings, which is dig a hole bigger than the plant, put it in, firm it in, water it in. But the basics for most plants that go from pot to ground.
Yeah, my hydrangeas are budding nicely at the moment. So
yes, they are. Yeah,
just have a good display this year. Okay, then. Well, we'll go into the commercial break, Trevor, and then we'll come back and we'll discuss what you're going to advise that you will be doing in April. Welcome back with me, Sue Rodwell Smith, for Trevor's Monthly Gardening Diary. Now, in this part, Trevor, we're going to talk about what you advise for April, what you're going to be doing for April. Was there anything else in March that you forgot to add in the last part?
I think there was, Sue. and that was my dormant dahlias.
Oh, dormant dahlias, eh?
Dormant dahlias. Don't forget your dormant dahlias.
CDs.
In the autumn, I dug them up, cleaned them off, put them into cardboard boxes, put some dry compost on, covered it with newspaper and kept it in a dark, dry area. Basically, it was kept in the garage. But now you should take them out, not plant them out yet because frost is still be around, but you take them out, dust them down and take off any of the little tubers that are gathered. They're like little potatoes at the bottom.
Yeah.
Have a check because some of them could be soft. If they're soft, get rid of them. You just want the hard ones. So they're coming out. Put them into a nice big pot. Layer it with compost. Not too much. Put the dahlia down. Cover it around with some more spent compost, if you like. Doesn't matter because they're not going to be there that long. And then don't cover it right up, but then just water it. But the important thing is, well, keep it obviously under cover, but keep it in a light area. Mine have gone back into the greenhouse, and it won't be until mid-April I will have another look at them to see if there's any telltale signs of some buds in there growing little shoots, because that's what should happen. And then when all frost is past, we will put them in the grounds. And what I did last year is I did mark with a cane and with a marking stick as to what colour dahlia was where, so that when they go back out again, I won't have two colours the same in the same spot. That's the whole idea of that. It sounds simple, but it's easy to say, oh, my memory would be served me well. But come about 8 months late, 7 months later, your memory goes, doesn't it?
Yeah, that makes absolute sense. So you say that your dahlias are in your garage. Does your car go in your garage, Trevor?
No, garages aren't for cars. It's a new thing for the 21st century and probably the second quarter or the last quarter of the 20th century. No, it doesn't go in there.
what rooms taken over by your plants, Trevor?
What room has been taken over?
What rooms in your house are taken over by plants at this time of the year?
Only the conservatory. No, I do not put plants in all the way into the bedrooms. I used to chip my potatoes in the bedrooms, but now I've got a bit more room to do that elsewhere. But it's making use the rooms that you have.
Right, okay. I'm only jesting with you, Trevor, because I know what a keen gardener you are.
Well, I don't think I'm any different to anybody else.
April showers,
yes. Well, we don't know yet, do we? But at least it's having time to dry out, and it can fill my water butts, because I made an effort. I did empty all my water butts. I didn't put any cleaning solution in, but I thought over the winter, frost can actually, if it's a hard frost, it can actually damage your plastic water butts if it's a really severe frost. So I thought, well, I'll empty them, and I'll empty them again because we had more rain than I expected. And therefore, when it comes into late March or April, I shall have fresh water in there. So that's good. And I've got about 6 water butts. So it saves on the water meter in the summer, put it that way. I'm in the throes of preparing for my second early potatoes, which will be in the ground. My first early potatoes went into tubs and containers, but my second early potatoes, which will be Maris Pier, and I might have a few Maris Piper there, they will be going in 2 rows outside. And I've prepped that by putting some grow more in there. And when I come to draw out the row, because it will be about 2 or 3 inches, well, 2 inches deep, I will line the bottom with blood, fish and bone, rake that in, put the potatoes in about 12, 15 inches apart, depending how I feel and how many potatoes I've got, to be honest. And then I draw the soil over from one side and then put a line of grow more down the middle. So it's not touching the potatoes, it's still touching the earth, and then draw the soil up from the other side. So you end up with a reed.
When I think about potatoes, I think of potato blight. So do you ever have potato blight, Trevor?
I haven't had potato blight in recent years. I may be lucky, but also I made a decision some while ago that I would not grow main crop potatoes, which take longer to, well, they go in later, so therefore they're harvested later, and that is the tendency when you get more blight. It's that kind of rain that comes that is on hard ground, so I think, well, I don't need to do that. Plus the fact my golf got in the way, so I thought, man, let's not do this. So
you just grow first and second early potatoes?
Correct.
And that keeps you in potatoes all the year round?
More or less. The great thing is potatoes in the right conditions can be stored for a long time, providing you treat and look after them right. And what I mean by that is the first earlies are quite simple, that you'll go and get them and you'll eat them in salads because that's the kind of potato that you want. Your second earlies will be more of a roasting potato, and they will keep longer, providing I put mine in Hessian bags. Again, they go into the garage. It's quite a big garage, but so they go into there, and once I've stored them, I look at them every month to see if they start sprouting their new shoots, because that is what you don't want. It's normally after the 2 or 3 months that you'll suddenly find, hey, they want to start sprouting again. So you just get them and just nip those little shoots out. Put them back. And also what you're doing is checking to see if there is any, unfortunately, potatoes that have gone rotten over the time. Because if one bad apple, it can affect the others, especially if they're all on top of each other. So it's a good idea just to prudently go through, and they will last a long time.
Okay, so that's potatoes. So anyway, I interrupted you. What else are you going to tell us?
Garden centres are now selling many different vegetable plants, young plants, and there's really nothing wrong with those. It means that they're giving you a head start. Yes, you pay money, but they're normally of good quality. You might not get the different varieties that you would expect from seeds and specialists, but they are very good, and it takes the effort out of germinating like it does for flowers. So you can have it. I can't guarantee that they will grow on from there. You've still got to treat them right, but it's a good way to see things happening straight away. Yeah. Especially if you've got kids that are watching their plants grow, they want to see, well, say instant results. They want to see something happening quickly, don't they?
Yes. Okay. So what else have we got, Trevor?
Indeed, talking about the veg seeds, we are sowing a lot more veg, hopefully, with leeks, carrots. My leeks are coming up in the greenhouse. My carrots and lettuce will be going in this week. Again, I've already started some carrots and leeks and lettuce in the greenhouse. So it's all go on that point of view. Radish will be the next one that goes in, because radish is one of the quickest growing vegetables around, and it's so easy to grow. Just put it in the ground and up it comes. All you have to do is thin it out, really, and don't let it go too old or woody.
Yes.
I did repot, or I shall be repotting my cabbage seedlings into larger pots. I put about 5 or 6 into larger pots, and then when they come up to about 5 or 6 true big leaves, then it will be time to plant them out in the garden. And that won't be until the end of April, beginning of May. And that is when I've got to prepare that part of the ground for the cycle again, which is cabbages, and then it'll be Brussels, and then it'll be broccoli, and it goes around. I shall hopefully be doing the shading of the greenhouse in the week's time. Horticultural fleece, I think we've mentioned before, very important with the seedlings coming through. And even in your greenhouse, you need to cover them if there's a forecast of frosts. I put fleece on a couple of times this week. And once your potatoes are coming up and the little green shoots are coming up, that's when they're most vulnerable to frost. So you would need to put the fleece over those. Mm-hmm. I've also been doing a lot of hoeing, and I shall be continuing to do hoeing, because what hoeing does is allow air to get into the soil, and it allows plants and whatever to breathe, whether it's in your flower borders or in your vegetable plot. I shall be putting up my pea poles. I said that right, haven't I? I think so. My pea poles, not my bean poles, my pea poles, with a view of planting those out in the next couple of weeks, because I'm hardening those off at the moment. So the beans will be a little later. In fact, the first ones that I will be doing at the end of April, mid to the end of April, is French beans. And again, I prefer to grow them undercover in the greenhouse in pots, whereas a lot of people will tend to want to put them direct into the ground. I'm trying to avoid having to cover them so soon if it's going to have a bit of a frost, and also from slugs, because slugs, again, is going to be a major problem this time of year. And it's a question of how you deal with slugs, but I'll come on to that in another part. And then we come on to the lawns. Now, we've all been mowing our lawns. I've been hearing a lot of engines revving. It is engines nowadays, not the old cylinder mowers. It's engines going, and I'm party to that. I cut mine high, and the first time I cut it, I threw the grass. I didn't collect it. That's what I mean by that. I didn't collect it. I threw the grass, let it mulch into the lawn. But now I'm starting to collect, edge my lawn. As I said, I've been aerating it. And then in April, I will be looking to see where and if I've got any bad weeds and moss. Because that is April is an ideal time to treat the lawns, because it's actively growing. You will get rain. And that is the most important thing. If you're using granular moss, weed and feed, if it doesn't rain within 36 hours, you must water it in yourself. Otherwise, it will scorch. And you will know when it's scorched, it'll leave patches, no matter how good you are in distributing it correctly, as it says on the packet, it will burn. So that's what I shall be doing. And then looking into garden centres to see if I can fill any holes in my garden, to be honest, because it's not yet ready to plant out the flowers, anything of that, until certainly May, beginning of May or mid-May. And anyway, the daffodils are still out, aren't they? And the pansies and the tulips and everything like that.
Yeah, well, my garden, this is the best spring I've had. It just looks absolutely glorious. As you know, my favourite flower, my favourite plant is the hellebore. I love helleborus, however you pronounce it. I just absolutely love that plant. It comes in all different colours. It's green all the year round. Then it comes up early spring or late winter, early spring, all different colours. I just love it. It's so hardy. And that with narcissi, little tete-a-tetes, daffodils, tulips, pansies, hyacinths. The garden just looks glorious. So when it's all dies, that's going to be when it looks awful, because you have to go around, head everything. Magnolias coming out as well. Got lovely magnolias at the moment. So, you know, it really does look lovely at the moment. Now, anything else for April, Trevor?
The one big thing for me that I must never forget is my peonies, looking after my peonies. And they come up every year, but they are subject to wind rock and blowing, because they have big petals, they blow. So I have to stake them round and put string around. I have 5 different clumps of peonies. So I try to hold them back from falling over. You can't do much about the rain, but they're quite tall. So you're trying to tie them in, putting them in a little cage, and hopefully the weather will behave itself. I mean, in the last few years, it seems that it starts getting windy when your peonies come, when they bloom. And the only problem is peonies don't last too long. So I have blush, white and dark red, and they look absolutely splendid, but for a very short period of time. So I must do that as soon as it is possible.
Yes, they're a very beautiful plant, I must admit. Okay, Trevor, well, if that's it for the moment, we'll go into another commercial break and then we'll come back with listeners' questions. Is that okay with you?
Okay with me.
Lovely. Thank you. Welcome back with me, Sue Rodwell-Smith, for Trevor's Monthly Gardening Diary. Now, Trevor, anything else for April before we go on to listeners' questions?
I think we've covered most things, Sue. Okay. Let's have a little look at my little listing here.
Okay.
No, there's always things you miss out, that's for sure. I'll be the first to admit.
Okay. Well, let's go on to some questions I have here. Now, Dave in Houghton, is it too late to sow shallots?
No, it's not too late to sow shallots or put the sets in, if you can get hold of them at this time of year. But I wouldn't delay too long, because they need to normally have a little bit of cold in them to let them break loose their shackles, if you will. That's why you normally plant them so early, i.e. mid-February, mid-March. The other thing will be that you will be harvesting them later, and hopefully you won't have any problems with onion diseases, which can be rife if it's a hot, dry summer.
Okay. Anne from Huntingdon, which compost to use when potting on?
Various. I tend to use multi-purpose compost, but I tend to use it in the form of breaking up. When I get a bag, I break up what I need in a bucket, let it go through your fingers, so you're breaking the compaction of the compost. And then what I will do is add a little bit of grit, because you're transferring the seedlings into a different environment and they probably need just a slight bit of drainage. So that's what I would do. You can get all kinds of different composts at different costs, with John Innes's, which is an ingredient they put in, but depends on how much you want to spend, really.
Okay. Now, the bane of everybody's life, slugs. John in Huntingdon says, how do you get rid of slugs?
Well, probably, I'm a bit of a naughty boy. All the time they're selling it in the garden centres and wherever, I tend to use the pellets. It's easy to distribute, it's cheap and it's effective. However, there are other things available. I sometimes use slug traps. Unfortunately, what that does is go into your beer supply, because you're putting beer into the container to attract the slugs. And then they're probably very delighted the way they're going to go, because they will be quite high, shall we say.
Yeah.
There are copper tapes you can get, which forms a barrier around the plants, and the slugs just don't like that. And to make more expensive, there is nematodes, which you buy, which is like I suppose it's like a little insect that gets into the slug. So, yeah, whatever you feel you're comfortable with applying to the garden. But the other alternative is you can go out and pick them out and put them in a bucket.
Yeah. And pellets, I mean, would it affect birds if you put pellets out?
Hard to say. There are woolen pellets, beg your pardon. There are woolen pellets, which obviously wouldn't affect, as I understand.
Okay, now, Anthony in Tring sent me a picture of a structure that he's made, and he's made it all out of pellets, and he's got it on a south-facing wall, and it's all little containers. And he's asked what he should be putting in these containers.
Right. Well, first of all, Anthony, what you have to consider is, has it got holes in the bottom? And you would need to put a little bit of plastic in the bottom as well, although you'd have holes in that, but to retain some water. You can also put a sponge in that will retain the water. You can grow flowers. You can grow vegetables. providing they're hanging over. Strawberries is a good one. Nasturtiums and various other flowers that you could put into his construction.
Yeah, trailing, and like I think begonias, that sort of thing.
Yes, and I understand you can get little bubble pellets that retain water, and that would be very useful, especially not so much now, but in the summer when otherwise you will be watering twice a day at least.
Yeah, especially if it's a wooden structure, because that tends to retain the heat, doesn't it?
Yes, yes. But if he wants to grow baby tomatoes, begonias, strawberries, depending on how many he's got, just give it a go. Yeah,
absolutely.
He's got two chances.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, now that's all the questions I have at the moment, Trevor. Now, when it's a lovely day, like we had a couple of days this week, they think, oh, good, I'm going to put the plants out. I'm going to go to the garden centre and I'm going to buy some little plants and I'm going to put them out. But that is not a good idea, is it?
It is not a good idea. We are still March going into April. There are still frosts around. Garden centres will sell you because they want you to plant as early as possible so that they can sell their plants. But no, you should hold back. Certainly the bean family, that they will be coming out because they will be affected by frost. If you can put them, harden them off in an area, as I said, whether you've got a greenhouse or you have a place where you can cover them, but they're outside, that would be great. But don't be tempted, a bit of sun comes out, to put everything out, because the weather can change very drastically. They have to A, acclimatise, and B, get used to harsher conditions.
Okay.
Otherwise, it'll be a waste of money.
Okay. Right, Trevor, anything else that you can advise before we say goodnight?
Well, to make sure you've got your horticultural fleece. That's all I would say. That is the main word for April. If you're growing things outside, make sure you've got your horticultural fleece, because believe me, you will need it.
Okay, Trevor, I believe that you've got another little tip that you want to give us that you forgot in the first part.
I certainly do, Sue, if I may, and that is on the question of repotting. Now, I tend to, when I repot, especially tomatoes, it will be from a 3-inch diameter pot into a 6-inch diameter pot. And I have been taught the best way to do that without disturbing the root ball and also the temperature of the plant that it's been growing in the compost is to line the 6-inch pot with compost, a little bit at the bottom, then put your 3-inch pot in and fill that with round the sides with compost, pack it down, and then lift the pot, the smaller pot out, tap it, and then put it into your hand upside down, and then lay it into the vacant area in the 6-inch pot. I hope that doesn't sound confusing, but it is a good way of not disturbing the roots.
Okay, so that was your extra tip.
That was my extra tip. And the only other one I can think of, and I wasn't sure if I'd mentioned it earlier, was about the use of A4 card and kitchen foil to deflect light when you're raising seedlings in a conservatory or a windowsill. Because obviously a conservatory normally only has two sides or three sides of light. Therefore, the plant is attracted and it will lean over. Doesn't happen in a greenhouse because you've got four sides of light. So by doing that with the A4 card, deflects the light and makes the seedling stay upright.
So we'll be seeing you for the next tips, which will be April, May, the first Friday in May. So hopefully we'll see you then, Trevor.
It's been a pleasure, Sue. Take care now.
Thank you very much. Bye for now. As we've got a little bit of time left, and Trevor talked about radishes and how easy they are to grow and they come up very quickly, I looked up a recipe and I thought you might like this one. It is roasted radishes in brown anchovy butter. Now, that sounds rather delicious, doesn't it? Now, what you need is 200 grams of smoked bacon lardons, 80 grams of unsalted butter, 5 anchovy fillets in oil drained, a juice of half a large lemon plus some wedges, 500 grams of mixed radishes, larger ones can be halved or quartered, and a small handful of fresh chives finely chopped. Fry the bacon lardons in a dry medium frying pan over a medium heat until crisp. Put aside. Melt the butter in a small saucepan over a medium heat. Cook for about 5 minutes until you see brown flecks in the bottom of the pan. Set aside to cool for 5 minutes. Pound the anchovies and lemon juice to a paste in a pestle and mortar. Stir in the melted butter. Put the radishes in a large roasting tin, then pour over half the anchovy butter and toss. Keep the remaining butter warm over a low heat. Roast for 20 minutes, tossing halfway through. Toss with the rest of the butter, the fried bacon and chives, then serve with lemon wedges. Enjoy!